Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. It is April 11, 2024. Happy birthday, grandson Britt. I'm Andy Eubank. On the Hat Podcast, Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson are here with the news, including legislation to improve the federal crop insurance program, and another bill important to ag is detailed on today's podcast. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for a wet one. How long does the rain last? An ag market yesterday, mixed soybeans sold off ahead of today's Thursday supply and demand update from USDA. Tom Fritz market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
Farm Credit Mid-America is a lender that has farmers' backs. With its patronage program, they give patronage-eligible customer owners a portion of their profits as cash. This year, Indiana patronage-eligible customer owners have gotten back more than $66 million. It's one more way Farm Credit Mid-America is showing up for farmers and strengthening rural communities. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. For more on patronage eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Legislation in D.C. impacting farmers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. Improving the federal crop insurance program is the goal of new legislation that's just been introduced in the U.S. Senate. Our Sabrina Halverson has the story.
Senator John Hoeven, a senior member of the Senate Agriculture Committee and ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Committee, this week introduced the Federal Agriculture Risk Management Enhancement and Resilience Act, or Farmer Act. Hoeven says the legislation will strengthen crop insurance and make higher levels of coverage more affordable for producers across the country.
This legislation specifically strengthens crop insurance. And how does it do it? It does it in two ways. One, by enhancing the buy, providing more support to buy a higher level of coverage, and that it actually provides then higher levels of coverage on a more affordable basis, not only at the farm level, but also at the supplemental coverage option level, which is incredibly important. And in addition to providing that on a more affordable basis, it also directs that USDA evaluate and determine how they can make crop insurance more affordable and work better when you have large counties in your state.
Hoeven says the Farmer Act is better for taxpayers too.
We talk about a farm bill being for farmers and ranchers, but a good farm bill is for every single American. Think about it. Our farmers and ranchers produce the highest quality, lowest cost food supply in the world. And every American benefits from that every single day, brought to us by our farmers and ranchers. Americans spend less of their budget than any other developed country on their food, and they have better food and a better choice. It's national security. We don't have to worry.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Keystone Cooperative is centered on delivering the farmer-owned cooperative of the future, starting today. We are owned and operated by more than 10,000 Hoosier farmers, centered on the valued relationships that have built and grown the cooperative for 100 years. Keystone specializes in refined fuels, home heat, agronomy, grain, animal nutrition, and swine production. We strive to lead, serve, grow, and embrace our cooperative advantage. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
A coalition of farm groups this week urged Senate leadership to pass the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act. It passed the House of Representatives with broad bipartisan support. Farm Bureau Government Affairs Director Dustin Shearer says this can't wait.
There are a number of provisions in this bill that are important to the ag industry, and it needs to get done now, and that it can't wait until 2025. And so they need to find a way, whether or not it's voting on the bill as is or coming to a compromise on some of the provisions and then moving forward, they need to find a way to get this bill done.
Important to agriculture in particular is Section 179 expensing and bonus depreciation, which is phasing down.
With that phasing down, 20% year over year, and the loss of your ability to buy and sell under 1031, farmers' tax bills are going up and they're losing their ability to minimize their tax liability, invest back into their business the way that they want to, into this equipment that's helped them make their operations more efficient, more resilient, more sustainable as they want to do and as the public wants them to do.
Shearer urges farmers to contact their lawmakers.
They can reach out to their respective senators, whether through email or through a phone call, and have their senators urge leadership to bring the bill to the floor or to find a compromise bill and bring that to the floor and get this bill to the president's desk as soon as possible. It can't wait till 25. It needs to get done now.
You can learn more at fb.org. There's a link also on our website, HoosierAgToday.com, and in the free Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. It's a free download for iPhone and Android. And while you're there, check out the new Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well, and no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a wet one here for today and tomorrow. We're right underneath a system that's working through all of the state. And that system's going to bring anywhere from another 1.5 to 1.5 inches of rain today and tomorrow. So significant moisture falling here. We're not doing anything in the fields. I do think that we see dry weather emerge for the weekend and next Monday. We're going to be cool to start on Saturday, but then we see temperatures jump Sunday, Monday. Next weather system shows up here next Tuesday with showers and a few thunderstorms. I'm going to say at this point 0.25 to 1 inch of rain, coverage around 80% of the Hoosier state. We take a break for next Wednesday and then see a few more hit and miss rounds of showers in for next Thursday. Only a minor coverage there, 10th to maybe 0.5 inch with coverage around 60% of the state. Behind that last round of moisture, we dry down for the end of next week, Friday the 19th. Stay dry through Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st. We are cool to start, but see warmer temperatures come. And it does look like we're going to string together the drier run in the forecast even longer into the extended 11 to 16 day forecast window. I'm not seeing much activity over a large part of the country through the first part of the week of the 22nd. So good dry down window potentially coming. I know it's going to be kind of tough to work our way through given the precipitation that we're picking up right now. Evaporation really is going to have to ramp up quickly to get rid of this excess moisture. That's the way we're stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Flat in wheat futures, corn up a little, and about a dime down in soybeans. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements on the way. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed that at the end of trade from Tom Fritz, EFG Group. Tom, the dollar index extremely strong after the inflation information coming from the feds on Wednesday. So we may have that to talk about as far as impact on the markets. Also, we're getting ready for USDA supply and demand noon Eastern time on Thursday. CONAB report as well. Only corn and wheat able to stay steady amidst all of that pressure from the dollar on Wednesday. What all did you see happening?
Well, I think Chicago wheat, the only reason it was down was because of the strength in Kansas City. You know, you guys don't talk about hard red winter wheat too often, but, you know, you look, it's up 13 to 17. And I think intermarket spreading kept Chicago wheat somewhat subdued, if you will. The Kansas City wheat is all about the developing dryness in the southern plains. You know, we've had forecasts that suggest better moisture coming along. And over the last 10 days, we haven't seen it. And most recent forecasts continue to be pretty iffy for that area of the country. So I think that's catching, you know, the Kansas City market. Excuse me. Also, I'm hearing that Russian prices are firm. Ukraine prices are firm. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, Ukraine continues to ship wheat out. But there was an article that came out that unlike last year, Ukraine does not have the carryover stocks that they had last year. Also, this year's acreage is going to be down. And so Ukrainian wheat is already starting to rally. And Russian wheat has been rallying for the last 4 weeks. So, but You know, I can completely agree with the idea that we need a bit of a weather premium in our developing winter wheat market. It's just unfortunate that Chicago plays second fiddle to Kansas City right now. Also, overseas, European wheat, France is the biggest producer of soft red wheat, and it's too wet. And there is some developing dryness fears for parts of Russian winter wheat, as well as Ukraine. So it's springtime, and weather plays a factor in our wheat markets, keeping it relatively firm. Now, as far as tomorrow's supply-demand report is concerned, what are we looking for? Just a nominal increase in the old crop wheat carryout. What is it? I think it's might be 18 million bushels, which is not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to give any bad numbers here. 19 million bushels, that's the average trade guess. And world wheat stocks, they're guessing that it'll increase by just 300,000 tons. These are not big numbers. So, you know, the wheat market, to me, it's all about, you know, the current springtime and the developing crop. Corn, okay, a little different there. Old crop corn, we're average trade guess for tomorrow's carryout trade is thinking a 66 million bushel decline in the carryout. And that's going to be a combination of domestic usage. I'm not sure about exports. Not sure the government is going to stick its neck out on saying exports are better than expected, considering we still have a number of months left to go in the marketing season, and we've yet to see any impact from the Brazilian second season corn crop, which is okay. Not as big as originally thought, but it's okay. And the developing Argentinian corn crop, and harvest has just started over there. So, you know, I think the government would be a little reluctant to change our export numbers on the corn. But I do think our ethanol grind would suggest we could see some you know, a lower carryout due to an increase in the ethanol grind. Is it going to be 66 million bushels? Well, that remains to be seen. Also, we're looking for a decline in the old crop stocks on a world basis. But, you know, the wild card there is what's the USDA going to do with the Brazilian corn crop? Recent estimates on the Brazilian corn crop are much lower than what the USDA has been alluding to. CONAB will be out tomorrow. So it's kind of like, who do you want to believe when it comes to the size of the Brazilian corn crop? Argentine corn crop, I expect very little change there. They've got a solid crop developing. So, but, you know, the bottom line is it'll be the impact in the world cash markets when that Brazilian corn hits the streets. And it's a little early yet. And the USDA has been saying that we think the harvested area is greater than what CONAB is using. Now, the USDA over the last couple of years is now using satellite imagery. And that's one reason why a couple of years ago, when Russia was saying they had a 100 million ton crop, USDA said, no, no, satellite imagery doesn't support that. So we'll see how that goes. Soybean market, yeah, the dollar. I think the dollar really weighed on the soybean complex, especially soybeans and soybean meal. Just makes South American origin look that much better. Soybean oil was under pressure until we had reports of some renewed fighting in the Middle East. Supposedly Israeli has taken out some Hamas son's leaders. I'm not sure the exact story, but once that story broke, you saw the crude oil market rally well over a dollar a barrel, and that brought the soybean oil back. So soybean oil will continue to fall victim to what goes on in the palm oil market, which was lower today, but also the crude oil market. So do with that what you will. But as far as the supply-demand report tomorrow, they're looking for a 3 million bushel increase in the U.S. soybean carryout. That's, you know, to me, that's nothing. But still, any carryout number over 300 million bushels it'll be difficult to rally old crop beans to any extent. And as far as the world carryout on beans, the anticipation is we could see a decline of 2.72 million tons, and that's all about the idea is we're going to bring down the soybean crop USDA once again. As in corn, they're out of step with the Brazilian CONAB agency. So who knows what USDA has in store for us. Trying to figure out the USDA, that's a lesson in frustration. I've said it many, many times before, and I'll say it again.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now the settlements from Wednesday trade up 3 cents. May corn, 434 and a quarter. July, 445 and three quarters, up 3 and a quarter. Deese contract, 2 cents higher, 470 and a quarter. Beans down 9 or 10 cents. May, 1164 and three quarters. July settles at 1178. Both of those contracts down 9 and three quarters. Novi down an even 9 cents at 1169 and a quarter. And May wheat 558 and a half, up three quarters. Meats down. June live cattle 172.85, $2 lower. And the June lean hogs 105.55, down 302. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.